but you can have additional lead magnets that are further down your funnel that when I give you my name and email or sign up to get that lead magnet, it's me taking action and notifying you that, hey, Adam, I'm further down your funnel, further down your journey. I'm closer to wanting to buy, which means you should send me different stuff now.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 25 of the Small Business BS podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about lead magnets. Now, before we do that, Jeff, I want to stop for a minute and celebrate something. This is episode 25. And earlier, before we started recording, we were discussing that most podcasts don't make it very far. And so, Jeff, do you want to explain where most podcasts die off and what this monumental episode is all about?
Yeah, and I think we touched on this in an earlier episode when we were on episode like 14, 15, somewhere in there. We were like celebrating the fact that some studies show, some resources show that it's like it's 90% of podcasters don't make it past episode 3. Now, I've always heard episode 7, so it's somewhere in there, right? Meaning that only 10% get past that third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh episode and before they just quit. Beyond that, though, we looked earlier and it's showing that of that remaining 10%, 90% of them don't make it to episode 20 and beyond. Which means if you make it past episode 20, you're in like the top 1% of like survival rate when it comes to podcasts. This is episode 25. I don't know what it is at 25. My guess is I would think that most people who make it past 20 probably make it to probably 75 or 100 most likely. I'm probably being way too optimistic for most people, but I'm curious. I don't know what it is for 25, but regardless, you and I are currently in the top 1% of survival rates as far as a podcast. So like that's pretty cool, man. That's a cool thing. I think it's fun. Maybe we'll do an episode in the future of like how to have a super uber awesome successful podcast if we ever become one of those.
Or why to do a podcast. And
why do I think we talked a little bit earlier, like we could do something, we could talk about the pros and cons of having a, you know, co-host versus not, having guests versus not, all that types of stuff. So I've been fortunate. I've done my own podcast. I've done another co-hosted podcast where we did guest. I've done one where we just do solo stuff. And like you and me, obviously it's just you and me. We're not having guests, although we've talked about that, right? And so there's pros and cons. So we could do probably a whole episode on that type of stuff too. Maybe we'll do that later.
Probably could. Yeah. And this is a terrible, terrible introduction to get.
This is a terrible introduction to talk about lead magnets.
Because now here's a question I hope we can answer during this podcast is a podcast a lead magnet? And so our topic today is lead magnets. And Jeff, can you start us off by just giving a overview of what a lead magnet is? And then let's go from there, because I do want to answer the question, is a podcast a lead magnet? And how do lead magnets work for small businesses? And what should small businesses be doing for a lead magnet? Why should they have them? What should they do? All of that.
Yes. So I'm going to go to our trusty friend Gemini on Google here. AI overview. A lead magnet is a valuable offer, like a free ebook, guide, or trial, given to website visitors in exchange for their contact information, typically their email address. I would add that typically it's like first name and email address at the minimum. It's used to attract potential customers and build an email list. It says that lead magnets help businesses nurture leads, build trust, and segment audiences. And I think that's a fairly accurate. I would disagree that it's only website visitors, because I think we'll touch on like there are lead magnet or versions of lead magnets that I would consider lead magnets for brick and mortar businesses as well. To go into your question, I do not believe that a podcast is a lead magnet because it's not actually generating a lead. Podcast is either and or a discovery tool and or a nurturing tool, meaning it's somewhere that someone might discover you because they're searching for things on a podcast, or or it's a place where people get to know you better and you start to build that authority and that know, like, and trust because they're putting you in their ears and listening and stuff like that. So I don't believe it's a lead magnet.
And I appreciate that you said that, because we are continuing on in our discussion of content marketing. And in last episode, episode 24, we specifically talked about funnels. And as part of the funnel, we talked about a lead magnet. So I completely agree. I think a podcast is more of that discovery phase on how somebody discovers you and your business, where a lead magnet's moving them into your funnel, fully pulling them in so that you can nurture and develop that relationship. And so, you know, another way to say that, Jeff, would be a lead magnet is a free offer you give people, something like a guide, a discount, or tool in exchange for their contact information, which is usually an email address. And so that's the idea behind a lead magnet. Now, you know, I guess the question is, you know, if I'm a small business owner, do I need to have a lead magnet? Is this something that I have to have? What would be the benefit of this? You know, why would I want a lead magnet, and what does that mean? Can I charge for it?
So no, you shouldn't charge for it. Although there are worlds where you could. Well, we can go. That's a different conversation. But I think for the most part, a lead magnet should be free. Like, that's how it should be, because otherwise it's less likely to work. There are very specific cases where that might make sense. But at its core, you know, it's about, there's a few different positives and things that you would want to consider and why you'd want to consider utilizing leads magnets. One's to build an email list. And we've talked about email marketing in the past. We're going to talk about it in maybe not next episode. One of the next couple episodes, we'll continue with our content marketing. We're going to talk about email marketing and why that's important. And kind of connected to that is, it's about nurturing those leads. And we talked about this in the last episode when we were talking about the funnel of, like, the different stages and the different parts of the journey from discovering you to purchasing from you. In the middle of there, there's at least some cases is really short, in some cases it's really long. There's a nurturing phase of, like, where I'm getting to know your brand. I'm starting to understand you, and that I can't do that very well if I'm not within your world and you're not having some control over what I see, which is where, like, email marketing comes in, things of that nature, which is generated and started by the lead magnet. There's also this idea of, like, you're also building trust and authority in this too, because your lead magnet, and I think I want to focus on, and we're going to touch about, and I know one of Adam's biggest thing is, like, if your lead magnet needs to be valuable, it needs to be good, it needs to provide your target audience with some value, which means that in itself is going to build that know, like, and trust, because I'm getting value from you and all I had to do was give you my name and email or whatever info it was. Now, you can go deeper. We talked about name and email, but you can go deeper if you do ask for additional pieces of information from a lead magnet. That lead magnet can also help you gain and gather additional information from your audience, and then which will allow you to do some segmentation and stuff like that if you want to go that way. It also can help literally drive sales and conversions, right? When we talk about the funnel, the part of, like, getting them from discovery down to the sales point, well, you get them there a lot faster with a lead magnet, bringing them onto your email list and then drive them through. But you could also use additional lead magnets, which I think need to have a different word, but because you technically they're already a lead, but you can have additional lead magnets that are further down your funnel that, when I give you my name and email or sign up to get that lead magnet, it's me taking action and notifying you that, hey, Adam, I'm further down your funnel, further down your journey. I'm closer to wanting to buy, which means you should send me different stuff now because I'm closer to that. I'm getting a little deep, so I don't want to get too deep on that. But, like, so I think there's a lot of reasons to use a lead magnet. If we go to, like, a brick and mortar standpoint, a coupon, a discount code, things of that nature are lead magnets, where I may give you my name and email to get a monthly discount. And that's literally conversion, because it's the whole purpose of it is to drive me, have me come back to your store when I need whatever it is that I need, because I have a discount coupon, right? Family's going, oh, let's go get ice cream. Well, I'm probably going to go to where I have a discount, or if I have a little, you know, $5 off or whatever it might be. So lots of reasons to use lead magnets.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you said, you know, a coupon is one example of a lead magnet, because a coupon is probably the most simple. Lead magnet is, you know, there's a very limited nurturing stage in between. Is you offer a coupon, they accept it, and then they make a purchase. And so that's a very short version. But a lot of times businesses aren't able to do that. Coupons aren't effective for whatever reason. And so what you're trying to do is get somebody into your funnel so you can nurture and develop them along their journey of purchasing the product or service that you offer. And I think the biggest thing about lead magnets is they need to solve a problem or answer a common question that your customers usually have. And so the idea behind a lead magnet is you're trying to get them into your funnel so you can nurture them, develop them, make them aware of your brand, and hopefully buy from you instead of your competitors. But in order to get them into that funnel, you have to have a lead magnet that's valuable. It has to bring enough valuable that they'll want it. And so to do that, I think that what we have to focus on is to either solve a problem or answer a common question the customers usually have. And typically, the lead magnet's going to have, you know, three main traits. It's going to have, number one, it needs to be valuable. Number two, it needs to be relevant. And number three, it needs to be quick and easy to access. And so this could be a lot of things. And Jeff, and I think we can go into some examples here of, you know, what could a lead magnet look like that's either solving a problem or answering a question for any type of business that is valuable, relevant, and quick and easy to access. It's typically not going to be the product or service you offer, but it's going to be related to the products or services you offer. So do you have any examples, Jeff, or do you want me to throw out an industry and you come up with them? How do you want to play this game now
I like the game that we're going into. I want to add on to what you just said by quoting you. And I think I shared this just in a recent episode, but we had a conversation in our mastermind once that was around lead magnets, and you said this, and then I went off and wrote one of my newsletters about it and a blog post about it and stuff. You said that I can't remember who you're talking about. You said your lead magnet should be so valuable that this mastermind group would tell you that you're dumb for not selling it. And so I think what happens very often in lead magnets is we get so worried about, well, if I give it away, they'll never buy anything. And so then we make really just weak lead magnets that don't actually bring value. And in a world where you can get a billion things for free, if your lead magnet's not actually valuable to me, doesn't actually give me something to you. I love that you said solve either a problem or answer a question that I have as your target audience. It's not that strong, because then I'm looking at your emails differently because I'm not as connected to you already, right? So I was going to give a quick one and then maybe we can go back and forth on industries. I like the idea of that. So I was thinking about like our team, right? We provide professional development services to school districts, right? So we do training, consulting, coach, and stuff like that for the educators, for the teachers, so that they can continuously improve their instructional practices. So our customers are either building or district level administrators. So principal, assistant principal, curriculum directors, superintendent, depending on what their roles are, depending on the size of that. So a very simple lead magnet that we have is actually a professional development plan and self-assessment that walks them through. And it's literally a red, green, and yellow, and they circle. There's 14 like categories that they look at, and they just circle. Like, oh, I feel like our team's red here, or we're yellow, we're doing okay, or green, we're good. And when they're done, they can look at this single piece of paper and go, oh, I see where I need help, or where we need to bring in training, or where I need to provide my teachers with more resources, or whatever it might be. And that's a really simple one. It's relevant because it literally connects to what we do, because theoretically, if I'm looking at that, I'm going, well, this helped. I see four areas of things that we need to work on. I guess I'll just ask the team that gave me this. Boom, right? But it's also, it answers questions. It answers a question of like, well, what should I be thinking about? Because maybe I'm not sure where I should be looking at for gaps. But it also gives me value right away because I have this snapshot. So even if I don't hire Teach Better, I'm still getting value from it, right? So it's a valuable piece. It's a line, stuff like that. So I think that was a good example, in my opinion, right? I think about your business.
Yep.
Your massive library of like awesome of videos and all these things that you have that people can get for free in your compliance cohort, like answers a lot of questions, provides a ton of value, and is absolutely aligned to the things that you actually sell too.
Right. Greatly right. Yeah. So for my business, I do regulatory compliance training for banks and credit unions and financial institutions. And, you know, so I'm selling products that are typically an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, up to 6 hours long of classes and courses. But one of the lead magnets that I created was just what I call compliance clips that are 3 to 5 minute training videos on very specific micro topics. And so it's out of context. Usually it's something different every week, but it's a micro topic that relates to the problem or question that I get asked a lot, and a lot of times I turn in the questions I receive into compliance clips and give them out to my full audience. And then, you know, that's usually just a part of a smaller training program where I'm talking about, you know, I sell larger training programs where I talk about everything related to that specific topic. So yeah, that's a great, great example too of just a lead magnet. And again, the idea is you're trying to get somebody into your brand to become that go-to resource for them. And the one thing I thought of, Jeff, you know, in thinking about this in different industries, you know, for example, let's start this game now. So the first thing is if you're in landscape and you mow lawns or you do mulch and you're just in the landscape industry and you offer all those services, you know, one thing you could do is create a cheat sheet for people on how to keep their lawns green. That's a problem I think most people are wondering about. I've had several different lawns, my different houses I've owned, always trying to figure out how to keep my lawn green. And if you give me a cheat sheet, I'm going to look at that and I'm either going to do it, or if I have problems doing it, I'm going to maybe then hire you to do it for me. And so that's one way. Another problem might be, you know, a watering schedule in the summer. How do I water my lawn without, you know, wasting water, but to keep my lawn from dying in the summer, especially certain parts of the country. And so those would be two lead magnets that would work to get people into your funnel if you're in the landscape industry. So I'll pass the torch to you, Jeff.
I want to stay on this one. I like that. We can go to other ones too, but I love the cheat sheet. I'm also like, there's a checklist, right? So I'm in Ohio, right? We have very noticeable seasons. So possibly there's a checklist that is for, you know, that October, November time where it's becoming winter and I need to think about what's my landscape and do? How does it survive the winter? Everything from prepping my grass, prepping my flowers, to protecting my flowers, to maybe just a reminder to pull down my solar lights and put them in for the winter so they don't get destroyed. But like all those types of things, a checklist of, hey, here's all the things you should be thinking about to prepare your lawn and your landscaping for the winter. And you could also have the flip side of like, and how to get ready in the spring, you know, in March, April. I think that's everything. I want to go like another direction. And this is where I think some people don't always think about this when it comes to lead magnets. And you got to be careful that when we talk about relevant, the easiest way is they're relevant and they're directly connected to your services. The other thing is they're relevant to your ideal customers. So for example, I want to stay with the landscaping. Let's say I do landscaping and it's typically I'm doing either mowing and mulching and stuff like that, or actually building landscapes, whatever. I'm doing all this stuff. Well, there's a really good chance that the vast majority of my audience also does things like possibly planting flowers and or having a home garden. So I could actually have a lead magnet that's related to like how to start your own home gardening and what it and maybe integrate it into your landscaping. I might not actually do that. I might not actually ever be able to sell you because I'm like, no, I don't put in home gardens. That's not what I do. But the fact that you might, and I could be wrong, maybe landscaping customers don't do that, but like if you are someone now, you still know that can trust me. Like, and now you're brought into my world. You were just happening to be looking for the gardening, and now I brought you in, right? This is making me think of things like when I'm going a little more broad content marketing, but if you think about like the Guinness Book of World Records, which was literally created by a beer company because they're like, hey, if people have trivia and crazy things to talk about, they're going to drink more while at the pub. That's literally where that comes from, like that type of thing, right? So John Deere with their magazine that's all about keeping grass, it's not all about John Deere equipment, it's just about grass maintenance, right? So I think there's a lot of lead magnets. You can go that direction as too. Let me go to, I'm going to flip back to your game because I was getting off topic, but how about Adam? Is this okay? Can I just throw a random one back to you?
Sure.
I'm an online business who sells, I sell what my offer is a community for hairstylists.
Okay.
Great. I went a little obscure. Go ahead.
Okay. So you created an online business where you are supporting hairstylists in their business, right?
Yes.
And so
yes,
it's a community, and your primary offering is a community where people can ask questions, get to know other hairstylists. Where,
yeah, I'm a hairstylist. I come in, I'm connected to other hairstylists. I'm not alone. I found my people, stuff like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. So the first thing I'm thinking is, you know, if I was a hairstylist and own my own business as a hairstylist, what would be the main problems that I would be trying to solve apart from your community? And so, you know, owning a hair salon, I'm sure one of the biggest things, and you're talking to somebody who goes to a hairstylist every 2 weeks. Since I record videos, I've just made it easy. I go to a stylist every 2 weeks, and my hair
looks pretty
consistent. I don't care about it looking great. I want it to look consistent because I may record part of a video 1 week and part of a video 3 weeks later. And I
need to always look the same.
Consistent,
at least.
Yes. And so I would think a hairstylist is going to have two potential problems. Two of the biggest problems they would have is from my experience of going 26 times a year to my local stylist, Cassie, who will never listen to this podcast. But I think it would be two things. And number one is getting business in. You know, how do I build business? And then number two is scheduling. I think that those are two of the biggest things if I'm just a stylist. Now, if I own a salon, and I don't know if that's your target market or not, the third thing is going to be dealing with people. And so I would be trying to solve one of those three things is how do I get more business in? What are some tips for scheduling and not having no shows and trying to maximize my time? Because I know people who do color, they could be there for 2 hours, but men's cuts can be 20 minutes. And it's very difficult to schedule, you know, that in and out. And so I would probably create a lead magnet that would solve one of those three problems is how do I get more people in? How do I schedule? What's the most effective way to schedule? Or number three, how do I deal with people? And so maybe I'll stick with scheduling and I will create a guide to find the best scheduling software. And so I would have the ultimate guide for hairstylist scheduling and make your life easy. And it just branded as something like easy scheduling, something like that. And then in the guide, I would talk about the challenges of scheduling and what can be done to make it easy. And then also provide, you know, three different software solutions. And, you know, you're looking for these things like text reminders. So that people get a text reminder 2 days before, and then they also get one the morning of 2 hours before, and that'll help with no shows and, you know, something like that. So I think that would be where I would start is to
figure out what
those problems are and then solve the problem. And again, trying to make it so valuable that you could probably charge for it.
I love that you went through the problem first because you went through the mindset rather than just going right to the lead magnet. I think that's a good way for us to do this. I love that. I want to stick with the hairstylist. So like that's a great one, right? Because that's super valuable to hairstylists, which in this scenario is my core demographic. Another way that you could go there is like creating that guide's a little more, I don't want to say bulky, but it's going to be a good size guide. It's going to have a lot to it, which is good, which is super valuable. If you want to go like super simple and clear, it could be like the one page intake form or onboarding of new clients, which is just like a checklist of because you mentioned like, how do I make sure no shows and stuff like that, right? Like, so what are the things you need to develop as a hairstylist to make sure that when you get a new client, you lock them in? They're going to come in, they're going to feel comfortable, they're going to be ready to go, they're much less likely to not show up, and they're going to stick with you. Here's the quick, you know, cheat sheet or guide there too. So I love that. Okay, your turn. Let's throw one.
Right.
Throw another one out.
Let's go with the financial advisor. So Jeff, this is your game. So let's see, what would you do if you're a financial advisor who is starting out, you don't have an established portfolio business, but you're a new financial advisor and you want to create a lead magnet that gets people into your email address. So you get email addresses, so you can nurture them. And so when they're ready to find a financial advisor that they would come to you.
Yeah. So I think, you know, thinking through the same process of like, what are the pain points? Obviously I'm talking, my target audience as a financial advisor and people who are financially like conscious of their financial situation. They're money conscious. They're paying attention to it. Possibly they are thinking about retirement and or saving for college or a big expense or something of that nature. Money is on their mind. Typically people who are thinking about, you know, hiring a financial advisor are not necessarily struggling, but they see their pain points are more about, well, I'm doing okay, but I'm not saving enough here, or I don't think I'm taking enough advantage of the assets I have, or how do I work my debt to be a better, you know, payoff schedule, whatever it might be. So looking at something like that, I think you could do something a little more complicated that would be maybe a calculator. And not necessarily building an app that's a calculator, but a simple spreadsheet that I punch in numbers and boom, it calculates out a payoff schedule. You could also do the same for essentially like a family P&L, family profit and loss statement for every month, where you kind of look at it and treat it as a business, but it's where I go in as my family, I'm putting my whatever I'm earning from whatever income sources we have, minus all of our expenses, calculating potential taxes and laying out. And so all the formula we've built into the sheet, it's a Google sheet that when I give you my name and email, I get a link that makes me create a copy of it. There's one tab in that sheet that is maybe a video of Adam explaining how to set up your sheet and how to use it. Maybe there's another tab that's like an example sheet. And then there's your tab to actually set it up for your family. And now this becomes super valuable. Now, the problem that sheet would potentially be solving is now, after if I use that sheet, I'm going to feel more in control of my money. I'm going to feel much more aware of my money. I'm going to have a tracking system for making sure that we are saving enough and that we're not spending too much. And I know where my money's going. And hopefully that's going to lead me to feel better about my money and find that financial freedom that I'm typically looking for. And that's something that's fairly, simple. I mean, obviously you have to figure out the calculations, but if you're a financial advisor, that's going to be a pretty easy thing for you to create and set up. You probably already have it anyway. It's probably in your arsenal of things that you'd work with your clients. So,
right. That's great. I love that. And it's funny, you know, you're a business owner, so you're thinking about a family P&L. Most people call that a budget. Just saying.
I know. I like the family P&L though. I know. Yeah. It's a budget sheet, a household budget.
Yeah. And I think that is it.
I was great going because, creative, okay?
Right, like, right. And so you and I who have families, like that is a pain point for most families, I think. And another way to solve that pain point could be a newsletter where you have a newsletter with financial tips, tax savings, and retirement. And so, you know, for those of you listening, Jeff and I are not experts in these industries. And if you are, you may have a better idea of the pain points of your audience. And so the idea behind this is not to speculate what your audience is looking for and what their pain points are. It's to really understand it and know it. And I think there's a process you can go through to think about it, but it's important to also test it with your audience. If you create a lead magnet that nobody is interested in, you may not have hit home. You may not be resonating with what they want. And so the end goal is to make sure that you're really providing something of great value that is going to be, again, so much value that they would probably pay for it in the first place. And so to do that, you have to really understand your audience, talk to them, and make sure that you're connecting with them.
And I think you hit it on the head there, that this little game that you and I are playing is not to speculate or necessarily tell you that this is the right, if you're a financial advisor, that might not be the best thing for you. I think hopefully what you're getting for this is the process of like stepping back and going, okay, what are three or five of the biggest pain points and or common questions that my ideal clients are asking, my ideal target audience are asking or dealing with? And then how can I solve those with something that doesn't involve me actually doing the service, but like what's something I can create for them? And I think I love that you went back to like that they would probably pay for it, because oftentimes a really good lead magnet's hiding somewhere in what you already do. And a good example of that for my business specifically is one of our lead magnets is a progress monitoring sheet. So for monitoring the progress of students, which is really, really important inside a mastery-based, competency-based, self-paced classroom, which is something that we train on. That is something that is embedded in the work we do. It's something that we provide to our client schools that we help understand them through. But it's also something that teachers can use in general. Even if they're not doing mastery learning yet, they could still use that. But if they're exploring it without us or they're not quite ready, they can use that. And so it's literally something that we're like, oh, this is a great lead magnet that we already developed as part of our systems. So again, when it comes to your budget, your household budget, there's a good chance that a financial advisor, you probably already have something like that. That can be your tool, right? And so that also makes it super easy, because you're like, hey, look, you're already using our tool. Like, let me show you how that embeds into everything else in your financial world, right? And so on and so forth. So I love that you went there. I just want to touch on that. Like, there's a good chance that you already have the thing somewhere and you can pull out a piece of it. And that just brings them so much even further into your business already. So
that's great.
The process is the important part here. The process it is thinking through these things.
It is, because implementing the lead magnet itself is really more the easy part. It will take some work to do, but I think, Jeff, in conclusion, I think one thing we can leave our audience with is just a list of a few types of lead magnets. What are some types of lead magnets? And you know, I think one it could, you know, I've actually written some ebooks or guides. I've got guides available on my site at businessstrategyschool.com. I've created a number of marketing guides available. So you could have ebooks or guides or even checklists is another way, something we mentioned already. What are some other lead magnet ideas that you have?
I'm glad you ended when you, because you said it in a, what we kind of, it was like kind of in a mix of something else. As a newsletter, your newsletter could absolutely be your lead magnet.
Absolutely.
Because if your newsletter is all about providing weekly or monthly or whatever tips or tricks or resources stuff, that's a great lead magnet that someone will absolutely give your name and email for. You mentioned, so on free online courses, that's a big one for us. It's a free online course. One of our best selling free courses is our grid method free course, which is like an introduction to the method, which is one of our biggest products as a proprietary framework. And then it leads perfectly into the selling of the full course, which costs money, or our services. A private community or Facebook group or, you know, Slack channel or whatever it might be, like those types of things can also be great lead magnets to get them into. We said cheat sheets, checklists, audits, self-assessments, quizzes, a video series that's hidden behind a paywall or a paywall for your name and email. What else? An email series. Maybe it's not a newsletter, but it's a 5-week challenge or something of that nature. I think those are all different examples. I'm trying to think of anything else. You already mentioned guides, right? Ebooks, that all works too. So
yeah, I mean, for example, if you're a fitness industry, you could have a 7-day workout plan, or get toned for spring break in 21 days, or you know, something like that. There's just so many different
launch
ways
to launch your podcast in 2 weeks or something, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And I think that it comes back, the key comes back to what is a problem you can solve or a question that your audience typically has, and then how do you provide a lot of value? And I think a little bit of the challenge is a lot of times business owners don't want to give that away because they say that's what I do. And so what you're trying to do is find a complementary solution to what it is that people pay you for. And so you're not trying to give away the service or product that people pay you for. But if you sell fireplaces, give away guides on how to maintain fireplaces, because you know, if you sell fireplaces, you probably service them. And so when there's a problem, they're going to call you. When they want a new one, they're going to call you. And so it's got to be complementary to what it is you offer. And there's plenty of questions and problems that people have that you can solve in that complementary nature to your core business line. And so I think that's what it comes down to with lead magnets.
Yep. I'll add complementary or introductory. Introductory? Yeah. Right. Yes. So like it's either something that complements the work you do, or it's just like the very first part of the first step into what you do. And I think that those both just lead in really well to what you're doing. So again, the biggest process here is stepping back, asking the question of like, okay, what are the questions and pain points that my target has, and what can I create that can give them a quick, small or large, honestly, but like a quick, easy, quote unquote, easy win. And for them, where they're going to get value from this, and they're going to remember me the next time I think about it. That's what you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly. And if you want to see an example of some guides, for example, on my website, businessstrategyschool.com, I've got several different marketing guides that are there. There's a guide for SEO, a general guide for marketing. And so you can go to businessstrategyschool.com. And you can see it there. So Jeff, do you have any guides available too?
I do. I have a couple too. I'm wondering if maybe what we could do, maybe on smallbusinessbs.com for the website, maybe we can put a lead magnet example thing. We can just like throw like a list of like 4 or 5 ones in there. That's like this thing from Adam, this thing from Jeff, and then they click through, and that'll give you a feel for the differences and like the page that you go to put your name in the forms and stuff, and what it is that you get, the emails that come after. Like there's a lot of value to that, which I will end with. I download lead magnets all the time, even if I'm not interested in them, because I'm always curious, how is this person leading me to the next thing? And what do they consider a valuable lead magnet? And what ideas I have? Like I'm subscribed to way too many things because I love doing that. Always curious and learning from others. So that's great method for this.
One of the best ways to learn how to use 100% lead magnets effectively, of course.
Because some people are really good and some people aren't.
Yep. So you can go to smallbusinessbs.com and find those resources there. So I think that's it, Jeff. I think we can wrap. So that's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you next week.
Thank Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business, one step at a time.